As I sit down to record this podcast, it's more of the same. The Brewers lose a series in Colorado. They have a tough road trip. I'm going to find some silver linings. But at the end of the day, it doesn't take a rocket scientist or baseball savant to know what the Brewers have in front of them. 26 games to go. They're essentially 5 games out of a playoff spot against teams that are playing better baseball. I'm not throwing in the towel because I'm going to cover it until the fat lady sings. But she's warming up, man. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. She's warming up. Let's dive into it.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, it's Thursday. There's a doubleheader today. 2 games for the price of 1 at American Family Field. You get to watch Corbin Burns and Freddy Peralta pitch today. That's a pretty good setup. It feels like spring training, but games that count. Giants are in town. Doubleheader starting at 3 o'clock today. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is Locked On Brewers. I'm the post-game host on WTMJ, Brewers Extra Innings, and the statistician on Bally Sports Wisconsin. I want to tell you that today's episode is brought to you by Vroom. With Vroom, you can buy your car entirely online, and it's delivered straight to you, so you never have to go to a dealership again. So the next time you need to buy a car, just grab your phone, go to Vroom, VROOM.com, and check out thousands of great cars. Brewers lose again to the Rockies. This was a very much a Rockies advantage, home run hitting, happy day for Colorado. But I'm not as torn up as maybe other people are about losing a series in Colorado every year, no matter what kind of a team you have. It is the hardest place to play just for the sake of the altitude, the adjustment, being on the end of a road trip, and also for the Brewers being on the stretch that they're on as far as, you know, 18 games in 17 days. I tell you what, this team needs an off day. Because like today was supposed to be an off day. Instead, they got to play a doubleheader, right? Think about that mental warfare of just thinking, oh, man, we got to do 2 today, and it was supposed to be a day that I was supposed to be at home and relaxing. Nope, just not the case right now. It's the grind. This is the dog days of summer with 26 to go. The Brewers, they fall again by a final of 8-4. They lose the last 2 games, getting outscored 18-11 after winning 6-4 in game 1. It got a little tight there using Devin Williams on Monday, but losing 3 out of 4 in Arizona, losing 2 out of 3 in Colorado. I think more folks would understand being more disappointed with losing 3 out of 4 in Arizona. You ran into some hot arms, but those young guns, they got it going, and now Arizona's not giving them any help with San Diego. And old friend Josh Hader got back on track yesterday, a 1-2-3 inning with a save against the Diamondbacks to help win it for San Diego 6-3. And also the Phillies won again over the Marlins because the Marlins, they're not very good. And the Brewers find themselves 4 games back, essentially 5 in the wild card. Don't even ask about the Central. The Central's over. I'm 100% certain in that. I'm not even saying, oh, there's a chance. I'm not gonna lie to you and say, oh, No, the Central's done. The Central's done. It's only wild card now. Okay, they're almost 10 games back in the Central. They're not gonna win the season series. They've only got 4 more games head to head. They would have to go 3-1 against St. Louis just to have the season series, which means they would only gain 1 game in the standings. They're not winning the Central. But for the wild card, the Brewers just 6 games over 500. If this stretch continues with 26 games to go, and like we talked about a couple of days ago, 90 wins being the mythical number that you would need to get to, so 19 more wins in the final 26. They need to go 19-7 over the final 26. Is that in them? I don't know. We saw it in the first month, in month and a half, first 50 games. We've talked about it ad nauseum. Best start in franchise history, and now they're this. They're under 500 since the trade deadline. They've been under 500 since June 1st when they went on that 8-game losing streak. So the team has come back down to earth. You know this. I know this. At the end of the day, though, despite all of this adversity and despite all of the turmoil, it starts today of proving, can you do it? You got 2 games today against San Francisco, and you're coming home. You've got your best pitcher on the mound. Granted, he's been in a little bit of a funk right now with Corbin Burns. Then you got Freddy Peralta, who's going to hopefully give you 5 strong innings. You'll have an extra man in the bullpen likely available today. It's a 29th man. The Brewers, They need a sweep. They need to go 2-0 in a doubleheader. That is hard to do in doubleheaders. They need to go 2-0 because just having it go 1-1 doesn't do you anything. And then with the Reds, mind you, the Reds are playing better baseball as of late. I want to tip my cap to them real quick. They are playing better baseball as of late. We've talked about all season long since their awful start, 3-21 start. The Reds are now a little under 500 since that terrible start. They're 26 games under 500 overall. So you do the quick math, they're 8 games under 500 since that start. So right on the edge of being a decent team despite that poor start. Don't have your assumptions ready with Cincinnati coming this weekend. But the Brewers, not only can they not afford to lose a series, they quite frankly need another sweep. Think about this. I was looking at this earlier today. The Brewers to go 5-0 this week. 2 wins against the Giants, 3 wins against the Reds, leading into the off day on Monday before you go to St. Louis. Trying to generate some sort of mojo, send some sort of message to the other teams that you're chasing, like, oh no, we still want it. It's tough. But the Brewers' longest winning streak this year is only 5 games. 5. Here are the only other teams that haven't gone past a 5-game winning streak this year. The only other teams that don't have more than a 5-game winning streak: Washington, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Oakland. Now, there are a few teams that have 5-game winning streaks: San Diego, Arizona, Colorado, Cincinnati. Each of them have had a 5-game winning streak, just like the Brewers. But all of those teams that I just read have all but one of them have one thing in common. The one outlier is San Diego. They're in a playoff spot. Think about that. All of these teams that have only had their winning streak top out at 5 games this year. I'll read the list again. Washington, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Oakland, Colorado, Arizona, Cincinnati, and then San Diego and Milwaukee. There's only one team of that list that is in a playoff spot. That's San Diego. And the last two unnamed, Milwaukee and San Diego, are the only ones above 500. That's the number. That's why there's skepticism among Brewers fans and analysts saying, like, well, they haven't been on a run like this. They haven't done it. And that 5-game winning streak, mind you, was in April. April. It's been that long. Where is it going to come from? Where is the spark? What's the thing that you can point to and say, yes, that's what's going to get them to win 5 games in a row? You can't even say the schedule anymore because they just lost 2 out of 7 on the road against teams under 500. We've talked about how good the Diamondbacks are. We've also talked about how hard it is to play at Coors Field. Where is it going to come from? Who's going to be the guy that steps up? Right? It's frustrating, but I thought that was a rather glaring stat that the Brewers, their longest winning streak just once, a 5-game winning streak. San Diego's had 2 separate 5-game winning streaks. That's what it's going to... You're going to need a 7-gamer somewhere in here. You're going to need a 10-2 stretch. You're going to need an 11-4 stretch to even consider yourself in it, gaining 7 games per se. They know what's in front of them. You don't need me to tell you that. As the board says here, 26 games to go. Let's talk about the doubleheader today and the challenges that it may present with the Giants coming to town again, a 3 o'clock first pitch today. Before we get there, I want to tell you about one of our newest sponsors. We all know that confidence can take you far in life. That's especially true, well, in the bedroom, especially when it's time to step up to the plate. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. The best part, it's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. The process is simple. Sign up at bluechew.com. You can consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The tablets are made within the U.S., prepared and shipped direct to your door in discreet packaging. So if you want to benefit from some of that extra confidence when it's time to perform, chew it and do it. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free when you use the promo code Locked On. All one word. BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On. You'll receive your first month for free. Again, bluechew.com, promo code locked on for more details and important safety information. So the Giants are going to use Scott Alexander to start the game in game one, and then Jacob Junis will be the bulk man for them. But then game two will be the definition of a Johnny Holstaff day. So I look at that in two ways. If you can take game one, dip into that Giants bullpen a little bit, make them sweat, it's going to be hard. Kind of like, remember the one-off game back in April? Corbin Burns was dominating. Jock Peterson happened. Also, timeout real quick. Let me do a quick aside. Remember that game in April? Remember how tight and fun that game was because the Giants hadn't fallen apart yet? And we got to find the guys that were heckling Jock Peterson right there in the front row. We got to find those guys and make sure that they're nowhere within a 50-mile radius of the ballpark tomorrow, or today, I should say. If you have watched anything of Jock Peterson in the last five, six seasons, and you're going to heckle him, you're practically giving him a superpower. Don't heckle Jock Peterson. He loves that. That's the moment he lives for. The dude wore pearls in the World Series. You really think he's going to be mad about you heckling him? No. Okay? Cool. The Brewers have to figure out a way. I'm sorry. It just came to mind in the middle of the podcast. But the Brewers have to find a way to get into that bullpen in game one. And when I look at this Giants team, they're battling injuries per usual. Longoria might be at the end of the road for him. The Giants are five games under 500. They lost again yesterday. They're 65-70. They're in a weird funk right now because Carlos Rodon, you're missing Carlos Rodon. You're missing their main starters. Tyro Estrada has been a nice little surprise at second base. 116 games, only a 730 OPS. Longoria has been hurt for the majority of the year, and yet his 797 OPS is second best on the team, only behind Jock Peterson, who's played virtually every day. And for Jock to only have 21 homers, it's the San Francisco effect, if you will. And the Brewers starting two righties means he's going to be in the lineup, so I wonder how it's going to work out with platoons with him. But again, the Brewers have to do what they're supposed to do against teams they're better than. I can say with confidence the Brewers are better than the Giants, because even if you look at those games back at the end of the first half, the Brewers could have, and quite frankly should have, won at least one more of those games. I mean, I look at the epic meltdown walk-off, of course, by Josh Hader back in the Friday game. They won game one in 10 innings. They lost game two with the walk-off grand slam by Yastrzemski. A ghost phantom balk call that I'm still mad about that I just remembered happened as well. That happened in Saturday's game in the game three of that series. It was a 1-1 contest, and then they never got going on Sunday. So the Brewers had a chance to win all three of the four games and lose the fourth one. That's fine. The Brewers are a better team on paper than the Giants, and they need to perform like it today, going 2-0 against them. If you're asking, well, Dom, have the Brewers, they barely even played doubleheaders this year. You're right. Thank goodness for a roof. And if you're wondering, when was the last time there was a doubleheader at American Family Field? Well, the answer is 2020, which makes sense. But there has never been a non-2020 season doubleheader at American Family Field. I think that's a rather fascinating blip, that this will be the first doubleheader in Milwaukee that's scheduled, that's not from 2020, since the year 2000, of course, the last year of County Stadium. I just found that pretty cool. The last time the Brewers have only played one doubleheader this year, which, thanks Chicago for finally having some decent weather, but it was from the opening weekend getting pushed back to May. The Brewers went 2-0 in that doubleheader, and yes, Josh Hader saved both of those games, but I digress. It's been done before. It's only going to be their second doubleheader of the year. You had to use a lot of the bullpen yesterday, but at the same time, you've got the guys that you want to use to give you some length, per se. With Burns can give you 7. Freddie can give you 5 or 6, hopefully, depending on how he bounces back. But you use Perdomo and Suter, and then Jace Peterson in the 8th. The bullpen's ready to go. Think about how little Devin Williams and Matt Bush have pitched as of late. Those guys are rearing at the bit. Now, I'd be absolutely flabbergasted if either one of those guys pitches both games of the doubleheader. I would be absolutely shocked. Given the state of the season right now, it's September, arms are hanging, guys are tired, you just got back from Colorado, I would be absolutely shocked it's not going to happen, have at least one guy pitch in both games. The only scenario I could see it happening is if Hobie comes in to get 2 outs in the first game and comes in to get 1 out in the second game. That's the only scenario I could see. And even then, I think that's extremely, extremely unlikely. So a Johnny Holstaff day in game two, and it's going to be tough to adjust, but find a way to get a few more runs across in the other team. And you've got regular starters going. And that should help. Also, getting back at home. The Brewers are above 500 at home. They need to find a way to protect their home field because 20 of the final 26 are at home. They don't have any more multi-city road trips. So Tuesday, they start a quick two-gamer in St. Louis, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then the following weekend, they go to Cincinnati for a four-gamer. Everything else is at home. That is a massive advantage. Any team would beg for that. And these two off days are going to really make things nice next week. You just got to limp to that finish line and get there. That's a quick peek at the Giants. I want to look around the league here in the final segment. I want to talk AL MVP because it's been firing me up lately. But this is a pod that you're not surprised about. If you ended here, it's not going to hurt my feelings because what more is there to say? The Brewers are losing. They're not playing good baseball right now. Craig Counsell agrees they need to play good baseball all around. There's 26 games to go. You know the stakes. If you're still listening here in the opening weekend of NFL, you're in. I'm in. Let's have some fun, all right? I'll see you at the ballpark. Let's talk about some other stuff here in just a second. Every day, I think I talk to just about anybody. If I hear any baseball, I was at a coffee shop the other day, and they were talking about the Brewers, and they were talking about the American League, and they were talking about Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. And I didn't interject. I just wanted to listen to what their thoughts was of just like, oh, a Judge is the MVP. It's hands down. It's like, yeah, but Ohtani, there's just person A and person B. Yeah, person A is like, oh, it's Judge. It's over. It's Judge. It's Judge. It's Judge. And person B is like, well, what about Ohtani? And he's like, no, I mean, what Judge is doing on a playoff team? Playoff team. It's all that the argument was. And I'm one of those people that I understand the baseball old heads saying, oh, if he's doing it on a playoff team, it's really more impressive. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Absolutely. Like, let's say the Brewers had an MVP candidate. Let's say Rowdy Tellez was being an MVP candidate. Let's say Rowdy Tellez had, you know, 40 homers right now and a 270 batting average, like a better Pete Alonso year, right? Like, Pete Alonso's having a solid year, but a better than Pete Alonso year. With the Brewers falling apart right now, you'd be like, eh, it's probably hurting Rowdy Tellez's case, right? But at the same time, when you put the numbers blind, I loved Jeff Passan's tweet last week. I just want to pull it back up. The numbers are a little bit dated now, but the numbers blow out. I love blind resumes, and I hate blind resumes at the same time because they are cherry-picked stats to help you get it right. But here, let me just read off this tweet from Jeff Passan. Here's player A. He is slashing .283, .351 on base, a .572 slug. Solid. Player B, a .270 batting average, so worse than player A, but a better on base, .361 than player A, and a little worse slugging with .538. But the home runs, player A has 33 homers, player B has 32 homers. Well, player 2 actually hit 33rd last night. Player A has fewer RBIs than player B. Okay? Which one's Shohei? Yeah, Shohei's player B. The numbers, he's virtually equal to Mookie Betts as a hitter. He's like, okay, I mean, Mookie's not the MVP. That's a solid year. Mookie's going to finish top five in the National League. Let's look at the pitching side. Player C, or let's go pitcher one, pitcher two. Pitcher one, nearly 150 innings pitched, a 27% K-to-walk ratio, a 2.2 ERA, a 2.64 FIP, fielding independent pitching. Now, pitcher two. Fewer innings, about 13 innings fewer, but the exact same strikeout-to-walk ratio, 0.3 more earned runs, 2.58 earned runs, and a better FIP, 2.54. So pitcher one is Shane McClanahan, and pitcher two is Shohei Ohtani. Now, Shane McClanahan's hurt right now. Who knows if he's going to pitch the rest of the year? But this dude was a Cy Young favorite, the starter of the American League in the All-Star game. I mean, take a second and realize it, because I got in this argument with my friends over a text message this last week, too. The Angels have a freak of nature, Shohei Ohtani. He's one guy playing two positions, and yet the team still sucks. Okay? Mike Trout was hurt for a lot of the year. Anthony Rendon's been hurt for the majority of the year. David Fletcher's been hurt for the majority of the year. They haven't been a good team. You know that. I know that. They started off hot, then they cooled off dramatically with a 10 or 11 game losing streak. The point being, when people say, oh, the Angels stink, so Shohei, his candidacy should be impacted by that. But yet Shohei Ohtani has more intentional walks than Aaron Judge, which is mind-blowing to me. Ohtani has 13 intentional walks this year. Judge has 11. Why are people still pitching to Judge? He's got 55 home runs. He leads all of baseball in homers, leads all of baseball in runs batted in, leads all of baseball in slugging, leads all of baseball in OPS. I'm not saying Judge is having a bad year. I'm not saying Shohei Ohtani is the slam dunk American League MVP. But this is so much closer than the East Coast media is telling you it is. If you want to look at WAR, yes, Aaron Judge has the advantage. His WAR is over 8, which is an all-time historic season. That's incredible. Shohei Ohtani's combined WAR between pitching and hitting is about to be 8. 7.9 right now. That is also an epic historic season. And when I talk about the intentional walks, Shohei Ohtani, until Mike Trout came back, Ohtani was the only one intimidating in that lineup. Only one. You could not pitch to that guy because he was going to make you pay. There's a chance that Judge breaks Roger Maris's record for 61 homers. When Judge does that, which I think he will, he becomes the MVP without question. What I don't want us to do is sit here. Let's say he finishes with 59 homers. He somehow cools down in these final couple months, or these final couple weeks. Say he finishes with 59 homers. Still an absolutely epic season. And Shohei finishes with like 36 homers, a sub 2.4 ERA, and over 150 innings pitched. A strikeout rate of over 12, which he's currently on pace for. It is so hard to make that call. This could be one of the closest MVP races of all time. In case you're wondering, there has been one tie. 1979, the NL MVP was tied between Keith Hernandez and Willie Stargell with the Pirates. And even then, it should have gone to Keith Hernandez. What I hope that is down the line, we don't look back and say, oh, how did it not go to Ohtani? Or if it does go to Judge, or if it doesn't go to Judge and Ohtani never gets to this level again, be like, should have gone to Judge. They're in Ohtani mania. Ohtani mania is warranted. I'm talking to you, Michelle Tafoya. If you know, you know. Ohtani mania is warranted because we have literally never, like, in 25 years, people are going to be asking you, the next generation of baseball fans is going to be asking you, what was it like to watch Shohei Ohtani play? It's that invoke of emotion for me saying I got to watch Shohei Ohtani play baseball. By the way, the Angels come to Milwaukee next year. That when you talk to the older generation of baseball, when they light up when they talk about Mickey Mantle, or when they light up when they talk about Willie Mays, they light up when they talk about Hank Aaron. You know, we didn't get to see him play, obviously. But this is, when people ask us, hey, what was it like to see Ohtani play? What was it like to see Trout play? What was it like to see Betts play? What was it like to see, well, when he was not suspended, Fernando Tatis Jr. play? You know, these incredible athletes. What was it like watching Jacob deGrom pitch? He dominated again yesterday. This is an all-timer, this window that we're in. And here, I mean, Milwaukee fans are used to saying, yeah, what's it like watching Giannis Antetokounmpo play? That's the same emotion that I have watching Shohei Ohtani play baseball. I don't think he's going to win the MVP. If I had a vote right now, the season doesn't end today, obviously, I think I actually would vote for Ohtani because 30 years down the road, we're going to look back at this like, holy cow, how did he do that? That's why I would vote for Ohtani. National League MVP, lock it up. It's Paul Goldschmidt. There's no question about that. It's going to be Goldschmidt 1, Arenado 2, maybe Riley, maybe Betts, maybe Alcantara 3rd. It's locked up in the National League. Cy Young is still Alcantara, in my opinion, for the National League. Max Fried's making a late push. Julio Urias is making a late push. But it's Alcantara still, in my opinion. In the American League, that's where it's a little spicy right now. The top two candidates are hurt, Justin Verlander and Shane McClanahan. Dylan Cease is saying, oh, hey, I almost threw a no-hitter against the Twins. He's throwing his hat in that ring. That's a very interesting thought. And to another guy throwing his hat in the ring out of nowhere in the National League, Zach Gallen, 41 in the third consecutive scoreless. He's going to pitch again, I believe, tomorrow, not Thursday, but Friday, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, I digress. he's throwing his hat in the ring, too, to be top three finisher, top five finisher. Award season is coming soon and coming fast. Manager of the Year type stuff, American League. That's a tough question. It's probably going to be Kevin Cash again, given all the injuries that they've been dealing with right now. It could be Dusty Baker. Astros are the best team that nobody's talking about, including myself. I hope Scott Service gets some love. Shout out to Wisconsin. National League, if the Phillies make it in, it should be Rob Thompson, in my opinion. To be interim manager and take your team to the playoffs, that would be huge. It could be easily Buck Showalter as well. Back in the manager chair for the first time and leading the Mets. Granted, now they're falling apart with the Braves catching them. So then you look at Brian Snitker. They were down 10.5 games. Award season's near. So I just wanted to end the pod just looking around the league, looking around some award season. A month ago, man. I mean, it's now or never. How many times have I said that in the last week? All right, I'm rambling now. I just wanted to talk some baseball with you. It's going to be a long day at the ballpark today. First pitch is at 3 o'clock for a doubleheader. Just straight through. No split doubleheader. If you want to buy a ticket, play a day of hooky, you're getting into both games. What's better than that? So come on out. See you at the ballpark. Wave to the booth. Say hello. I'll be there all weekend as well. And then the Brew Crew gets ready for the Reds. I'll be talking to you tomorrow on Brewers Extra Innings after the game. Until next time, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.